Well, good morning. Thank you for coming today. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you, leaders, for leading, and Adam and TJ for taking our offering. Thank you for being here on a rainy morning. It's good to be with God's people. Well, before we turn to the Word of God, let's talk to the God of the Word. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we come today with gratitude in our hearts. Thank you for your love and for meeting with us today. And on this Mother's Day, I pray for our moms. Lord, I pray for those whose mothers have passed away and perhaps are missing mom today. I pray for those who are childless or have lost a child, for your comfort. I pray for those who had a poor relationship with their mother. Please come alongside of us and remind us of your presence and eternal love. Thank you, Father, for the Bible, your holy word. Please speak to us today through it. Send your Holy Spirit to open our eyes to its truth. Give us ears to hear. Bring comfort to our hearts and compassion and courage to our minds. Help us to see Jesus and hear him. We pray in the name above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we've come together this morning for two main reasons. We've come together to honor the Lord Jesus Christ with our worship, and the other is to honor our moms. Both are lifetime tasks, and neither one can really be completed in a one-hour worship service. Mothers are highly honored in America, and we really enjoy showing them our love. The proof of that fact is that it'll be almost impossible to get a table at many restaurants today as people take mom out for dinner so she doesn't have to cook. And I'm told it's the busiest day of the year for telephone networks as people reach out and touch mom. But let's admit that there's no such thing as perfect moms or perfect dads, right? None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. And I think honest parents will admit with me that raising children isn't all fun and games either. It does, however, have its joys. One mother said, "The joy of motherhood is what a woman experiences when all of the children are finally in bed at night." It's also not an easy job. A mother was talking to her, an old college friend, once, and she said, "Remember before I was married and I had three theories of child raising?" Friend said, "Yes." She said, "Well, now I have three children and no theories." Another woman with three children was asked, "If you had to do it all over again, would you have children?" "Yes," she replied, "but not the same ones." Another mom said, "I considered being a stay-at-home mom until I realized that the children would be home with me too." You know, some mothers face greater difficulties than others. I remember reading about a single mom who was diagnosed with cancer, and her doctor told her that she only had a short time to live. She spent her remaining days trying to find loving parents to adopt her five children. Imagine that. What if you were looking for the perfect mother for your children? What would she be like if you had to do that? Would she be wealthy? Would she live in a nice house? Would she be famous? Would you want her to be well-educated, mature, experienced, beautiful, ordinary? I mean, what would be most important to you? Think about that. If you had to pick a mother to raise your children, how would you decide? Would you leave your child with just anyone? I don't think so. You'd want it to be the best mother in the world, if you could find her, right? Wouldn't that be who you want, the best mom in the world? Well, today I want to look with you at the woman that God chose to raise his son. We remember Mary as Jesus' mother, but let's remember that first of all, Mary was a godly young woman. That's why God chose her before she ever became a mother. Ladies, I want to remind you that being a mother doesn't define who you are in God's eyes. God sees your worth and my worth in our relationship with him through Jesus Christ. That's how God sees our worth. And that's true for everyone here today. And that means that we can rejoice in that fact whether you're a mom or not, right? God sees our worth in our relationship with him. Now, Mary was not a perfect woman. She wasn't sinless, but she was the best mom for the job, right? In other words, she was exactly what God was looking for in a woman to raise his only son. Now, men, don't tune me out. There's much here for us also. Plus, if you're married, it's our responsibility to lead and encourage our wives to be women of God. Today, we're going to see what that looks like. And if you're here and you're a single guy, here's what you can look for in a wife. Okay? We're going to discover what we're looking for in God's holy word, the New Testament of the Bible, in Luke chapter 1. And to discover what we all need to be to please God, we're going to ask one question this morning, just one question. What does God look for in a person? What does he look for in a person? What characteristics or traits in a person delight the heart of God? So before I answer, let's consider Mary, the mother of God. Now, that's how many Roman Catholic Christians see her, Mary, the mother of God. In a prayer that is sacred to them, they pray this: Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us. Now, Protestant Christians have kind of shied away from anything to do with Mary because of what they perceive to be an overemphasis on Mary's role among Catholic Christians. And that's a shame, because we lose much of what we might learn from this godly woman. How many sermons have you heard on Mary? Think of that. Not too many. Well, why did God choose her? What quality set her apart and made her the right woman to be the earthly mother of Jesus? We find out in Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to be reading verses 26 to 38 from the English Standard Version. The Bible says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting it might be. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. This is the word of God. I want you to observe with me today that Mary was, first of all, a woman of faith. A woman of faith. Mary believed God. She was full of faith. We call that faithful, right? What does that mean? Well, I don't know if you were here when I did my message with the three chairs on the platform. We talked about Jacob. And I talked about what faith was then. And here's a quote from R.C. Sproul that I mentioned. The issue of faith is not so much whether we believe in God, but it's whether we believe the God we say we believe in. Let me repeat that. The issue of faith is not so much whether we believe in God, but whether we believe the God we believe in. Mary believed the God that she believed in. Do you? Faith always involves a choice. Mary chose to trust God, obey him, and leave the consequences up to him. That took faith. Mary did ask a question. She said, How will this be? But that arose from her faith. She simply asked about the way that God would do this amazing thing. Now, if you have your Bible open, look at verse 18. Zechariah questioned the truth of the revelation when he asked the angel, How shall I know this? It was apparently he was asking for a sign from God to confirm the angel's prophecy. Mary, on the other hand, didn't ask for a sign, but she only asked for understanding as to how God would accomplish this wonder in her life. She was a woman of faith. She was faithful. She believed God. Mary was also submissive, a submissive woman. In verse 38, she says, I am the Lord's what? Servant. Mary calls herself a word that means a female servant. It was the word used by a subordinate when speaking to a superior, especially by the righteous when they spoke to God. Mary's attitude reminds us of Hannah back in 1 Samuel, who also saw herself as God's servant. The biblical idea is not of a lowly slave, but of a loving submission to God that characterizes genuine believers. I wonder, would you call yourself the Lord's servant? Would you submit your self-will to His will so God can use you? Mary was faithful, she was submissive, but she was also a humble woman. A humble woman. Listen to what she says in verse 46. She and Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. In this beautiful song, Mary speaks of her low estate. She was humble, both in her own eyes and the eyes of the world. She knew her shortcomings, too. She was modest, and she saw herself as relatively unimportant. She gave God credit for what He would do. Her humble heart and her honor for God led her to submit completely to His will. Mary gave up relying on her own ingenuity and her own abilities and her reputation, and she surrendered her rights to God. Because let's remember, this cost Mary her reputation in that small town, to become pregnant before being married. She put herself completely at God's disposal. Mary understood that it was God's choice, and she was willing to be used by Him. Mary also knew God and His word, and I think the word godly sums it up very well. Her song of praise to God, if you read it in verses 46 to 55, was filled with quotes and references to the Bible. It's obvious that she knew and meditated on verses from the Psalms, from Job, from Isaiah, and from Genesis, and the book of Micah. When was the last time you read the book of Micah? Now remember, there were no personal copies of the Bible available in that day. These words flowed naturally from her lips in praise, and she must have really been paying attention in the synagogue when the Bible was read. How attentive are you when the Bible is read? Today we have a lot of distractions, don't we? God's word also had an effect on her life. It changed her. See, how do you know that? Well, she was a morally pure woman. The Bible says she was a virgin. Holiness is always in style with God, and she had kept herself, the word holy means to be set apart. She had kept herself set apart for God, and that's why He could use her. You know, we will never know how many other young women God could have used in her day, but He didn't, because they didn't keep themselves pure. We'll never know that. But we know that about Mary, that she had. Ladies, young women, girls, men too, let's think about this for a minute. Is your life the kind of life that God could use today? Do you want it to be? You say, well, Pastor, you don't know about my past. Forget about your past. Bring that to God. He will forgive it, cleanse it, and put it away so He remembers it no more, the Bible says. God will forgive you. Let's think about what it means to be a godly person today. What about you and me? What would make God choose and use you today? Well, maybe you say, well, Brother Becker, I really love the Lord. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Do you trust God? Do you trust Him? Do you believe the God that you say you believe in? Do you believe Him enough to obey Him? Are you following close to Jesus? Is that evident to others who see you, who hear you? Are you humble and teachable? Or does everything else have to be done your way or the highway, you know? Is God's word in your heart? Do you meditate on it? Have you allowed it to change your life? Have you kept yourself pure? Are you submitted to God? Mary's submissive spirit is a great example for Christians today. especially in America where we're told to stand up for our rights. But when we come to Christ, we make him our Lord. We surrender our rights to him. We surrender to his plan. Now, you know, when you think of people who are really holy and who are really dedicated to God, missionaries may come to mind. But you know, even missionaries struggle with this. Sharon Fair wanted to be a missionary since she was in sixth grade. After college, she and her husband and two children went to Papua New Guinea with the Wycliffe Bible Translators. But within a year, she found herself caring for three small children. She was frustrated. She felt like God had put her on a shelf. Family responsibilities and interfered with all the great things that she had planned to do for God. But she gradually began to see that children raised in a Christian home have a tremendous spiritual advantage. As a Christian mother, she was God's evangelist. From the Bible, she learned that godly mothers had had an amazing impact on the lives of future spiritual leaders that God was able to use. Sharon Fair finally came to see that she had simply exchanged one holy calling for another holy calling. Children don't interfere with God's call. For a mother, they are his call. You know, Mary could have said, Lord, I'm just a girl. I'm not ready to be a mother yet. I'm not wealthy. I'm not educated. I'm not worthy of this. Wouldn't it be better if you got someone else? She could have said that. But that's not what Mary said, is it? No, she said, behold, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Have you said that to God? You know, sometimes we know what we should do, but we don't want to do it. You ever been there? Reminds me of a little boy who announced to his mom that he had two pieces of candy. And she asked him, she said, what are you going to do with them? He quickly answered, I'm going to eat them. Seeing a teachable moment, mom said, well, don't you think you should share with your brother? He said, I don't have enough to share. I'm going to eat them myself. Well, it was obvious that he needed to be taught about generosity. So mom asked him, she said, well, what do you think Jesus would do if he had two pieces of candy? He answered, I think Jesus would make two more pieces of candy and give them to his brother. From this point forward, will you be the person that God can use? If you know what you should do, do it. Do it. What is God asking you to do today? How will you answer him? If you remember the story of Jacob when we looked at it, Jacob had that dream and he met with God and wrestled with God, and he basically told God, if everything works out, I'll come back and serve you later. Is that you? Or are you Mary, who basically said to God, as you wish, as you wish. Well, in Mary's life, we've seen the example of a person that God could use. She was faithful, she was submissive, she was humble, and she was godly. And because she was, God took her, an ordinary person, and did something completely extraordinary through her that change the world for all eternity. Wow, talk about having your life make a difference. Man. But how can we hear about Mary and not think of the one who is the perfect example of these qualities? Jesus. Who is more full of faith than Jesus, the Son of Mary and the Son of God? Jesus. Humility was unmatched. His whole life was lived for the glory of his Father. And his godliness even impressed pagan politicians. Remember what Pilate said? He said, I find no fault in him. And he was perfectly submissive to God. When remember what he prayed? He said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours. And then he went to the cross to die for our sin. Just imagine what could happen in our lives if we responded to God like Mary and Jesus. Just imagine. Jesus is calling us today to follow him. Will you? Only God knows the difference that your life could make if you were fully committed to him. If you serve him with your whole heart. Now maybe you're sitting here this morning thinking, well, I'm impossible. You know what you should do? But you can't or you won't do it. You struggle with it. Let me tell you, there's one who did it for you. Not Mary, but Jesus. He lived the life that we should live, and he died the death that we deserve to die. And because he lived and died in our place, if we believe in him, we'll begin to be able to do it too. But only to the degree we understand what he did for us and believe in him. Will you trust him today? Trust him with the unknowns in your life like Mary did? On this Mother's Day, maybe you're uncomfortable. Maybe there's things in your past you're not proud of and you feel guilty. Maybe you feel unworthy. But let me remind you that God not only forgives, but he forgets. He's a God of grace and mercy. He loves you. He always has. He always will. He's the God of second chances, third and fourth chances. Come to him for forgiveness today. Maybe you've complained. Maybe you've complained about your lot in life. Instead of seeing your circumstances as a calling from God, as a place where he's put you, you've looked at it as an obstacle to your plans. But now maybe you see that it could be one of the highest callings in life to be right where you are. I invite you to make things right with God today. Do it now. Talk to God in your heart. He will hear you. Husbands, a lot has been said about women today. What about you? What can you do? What can you do? There was a husband who was not very attentive to his wife, and one day he felt guilty about it and decided to change. So one day, on his way home from work, he bought a box of candy for his wife, and he bought her some flowers. He wanted to surprise her. So he walks up to the door. Instead of walking in, he rings the doorbell. And she opens the door, and there he stands, candy in one hand, flowers in the other, thinking, I love you truly, I really do, dear. And instantly she breaks out in tears, this great big tears flowing from her eyes. And she starts sobbing, oh, Harry, Harry, everything went wrong today. The plumbing broke, the kids were terrible, the house is a wreck, and now you come home drunk. Man, let me remind you that much of what Mary did was because she had a supportive husband who loved her and loved God. The Bible says that Joseph did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him to do, and he took Mary home as his wife. A godly woman needs the support of a godly man. Will you be that man? Will you pray for her? Will you encourage her? Be there for her. That is the best gift you can give your wife, the mother of your children. You know, the temptation in life is to let possessions and relationships define us. But the message of the cross and the gospel of Christ is that your worth as a person is not to be found in your possessions or in the relationships in your life. Instead, it is found in the personal relationship with your Heavenly Father who loves you, forgives you, and will never leave you or forsake you. That's what the Bible says. If you don't have that relationship with God, you can. I invite you today to turn from a sinful, self-centered life and come to God through Jesus Christ. If you will pray and say, Father, please accept me and adopt me. Not for what I have done, but because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross, the Bible says you become a child of God. But there's more good news. We may have imperfect lives and imperfect families here, but one day we're going to have a perfect family in heaven. God will be our Father, Jesus as our older brother, and we'll live in a perfect place with all of God's children who've gone on before us. That's something exciting to look forward to, isn't it? So hang in there. If you're God's child, his power is yours. He will help you as a parent, as a mom, and yes, as a dad. And last, may I say, may God bless all of you mothers on Mother's Day. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for our mothers. Thank you for our mothers who gave us life. Thank you for Mary's example of godliness to us. We especially thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who lived and died so that we could be adopted into your forever family. Thank you that he loved us so we could know your amazing, unconditional love that heals and helps us in the storms of life. Help each of us to take the next step closer to you today, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.